We can't have professors acknowledging the presence of someone handing them documents. It smells like Seattle Spirit to me, and I've just barely woken up.
What we want is our first graders to have a Glock on their hip.
They put that debt on my grandchildren.
The most transparent administration in our state's history.
Based on ideology rather than the facts.
Well, I'm a doodler.
You are indeed. Sleepy Jay Inslee. Okay, you're going to want a visual aid for this. You got to trust me. I'm going to send you the video we're going to reference. Here's what you do. It's already up on my Twitter account. Go to @ToddyHerman. It's one of the top tweets. Okay, it's in a reply to somebody. It's on the Facebook page, facebook.com/ToddHermanShow. Now, if you're mobile, don't do it while you're driving, but if you're mobile, send the word Matt, M-A-T-T, text Matt to 800-465-8770 and watch a video that was Exhibit 1. The opening exhibit in the Central Washington University attack against Matt Manweller, who's been undergoing this for a long time. And it's done significant harm to this representative, who's a great conservative, great constitutionalist, great focus on liberty, did a great job trying to get us some sane Supreme Court justices. He talked about this is what it's done to him.
I have been put on paid leave for 8 months, had my name dragged through the mud, my reputation shot, and been on, a human pinata of the Seattle Times and the Tacoma News Tribune.
Yeah, Manweller's been effective. Now, look, if Matt had done something wrong, you know me, I'd approach it, right? And we'd go at it. We'd have the discussion about it. Near as I can tell, with exhibit number one, I want to describe this video to you, but I want you guys to get it first. Todd Herman Show Facebook page, Twitter @ToddyHerman, or text Matt, M-A-T-T, to 800-465-8770, brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. And you can watch this video that is exhibit number one. I asked him, Matt, do they have anything on you?
They say that I opened a door and held open a door and helped a woman with her jacket. And they said that that turned a dinner meeting into something more.
Wow.
So I held open the door.
Wow.
There is a student that says, I saw you looking at my friend more than you looked at other students in the class.
Wow. And that student apparently sat in the first row. And Manweller said when he was on the program that none of this investigation, and apparently, according to Manweller, the woman who led this investigation for $120,000 is a radical leftist, and I think he said feminist attorney. He did point out that she spends her time retweeting tweets of the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant. So that'd give you an idea of her political leanings. And look, the report, if this video is to be believed, and it is. I mean, this is apparently Exhibit 1, and I'll describe it to you here in a second. Of course this is nitpicky.
Report that's coming out. But Todd, that's what the whole report is. It's just one trivial, nitpicky thing after another, and it's just really frustrating.
Yeah, but they had to go to downtown Seattle. They couldn't go find an attorney in Ellensburg, which is where Central Washington University is located. Nope, they had to go to downtown Seattle, $120,000. He says it's a liberal feminist attorney.
CWU went into downtown Seattle and hired the most liberal feminist attorney they could find, started having her do the investigation. They gave her $120,000, 8 months to dig through every aspect of my life.
And he says, really, what they're trying to do here, there's nothing big. They went through 16 years of his life, and they couldn't find anything, so he described their tactics.
They gave her $120,000 in 8 months. And they couldn't find anything big, right? I think they were hoping they were going to find something big. And when they couldn't, they went with a kind of Mueller death of a thousand cuts.
Exactly. Now, let me describe the video if you haven't yet gotten it. Again, on my Facebook page, facebook.com/ToddHermanShow, Twitter @ToddyHerman, or text Matt, M-A-T-T, to 800-465-8770. Text Matt to that number. That's brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. You can have a copy of the video. So it's a legislative hearing, and it's a U-shaped table. And Manweller is sitting in the center of the table, and there's some people testifying. And I believe Nick Hanauer was there. I don't think Hanauer had anything to do with this. Some women are handing out documents for the legislators to read. So they're going around and placing the documents on people's tables. Matt simply acknowledged the presence of someone walking up behind him. As he said, it's not very often that people come up behind you in legislative hearings. He didn't swing his chair around. He turned his chair about 10 degrees, noticed the person was there, and turned back. Didn't make eye contact, didn't do the elevator eyes thing that Pete Rogoff, that internal investigation said Rogoff was Mr. Elevator Eyes. That internal investigation said Rogoff said that black people need more help at work. It wasn't anything like that. Manweller acknowledged she was there and went back to work. He was questioned over this. You'll watch the video. The interaction is non-existent. But it was Exhibit A. First thing out of the gate, the thing that they think makes the biggest case against Manweller. This is a cook job. That's what it is. For 16 years, the worst thing that they found, I guess, is he gave wine to a 23-year-old woman who happened to be a babysitter at his house. No allegations, apparently, of sexual impropriety in that regard. Now, I asked Matt to come back on when the report comes out. I'd also love to get this attorney on and see if she'd come in and debate some limp-minded rodeo clown like me who does himself a little rodeo show in Seattle, since she's a highly trained attorney in Seattle. And if you want to see this video, and it is insane, text Matt, M-A-T-T, to 800-465-8770. You know that the Seattle, they're going to go out and kill this golden bicycle goose with these junk bikes, right? Because they can't focus on the main thing being the main thing. King Five's Chris Daniels, speaking to the main thing, was speaking with Bob Schneider, a neighbor, and Sergeant Whitcomb about trying to track down something that we in Seattle are starting to call the serial pooper.
Somebody felt it was important enough that they wanted to put up signage.
He's part of a new kind of neighborhood watch.
The serial pooper.
Looking for a pair of suspected squatters.
There is hazards that go along with having people do that sort of thing in your yard.
You got to watch your step.
You got to watch your step.
This manure mystery hasn't prompted a sniff from police. We went there to get to the bottom of it or them or something like that.
How serious does the Seattle Police Department take this kind of crime?
Well, I think it's a pretty serious thing for all of us when there's poop.
As a city, we have no plan.
So they're not taking it seriously at all. What comes out, I guess, walking around, and it's one pooper? This stuff's everywhere unless you are in a given neighborhood. Tomorrow, the neighborhood around one of the city councils, city councilman's homes, a deep dive into what it's like around Bruce Harrell's house. Hint, it's beautiful. I mentioned the killing of the golden goose. So, Como's Jennifer Sullivan looked into the fact that, the Seattle City Council, on a unanimous basis, decided to rack up the rates for these junk bike companies that there's junk bikes being laid all over the place. Mike O'Brien responded to that. They decided to jack up the rates, by the way, to like $1 million. And one of the golden geese is going to leave. Mike O'Brien talking about people dropping these bikes everywhere.
This ordinance will generate additional revenue to make some of the investments necessary to make that parking available. I don't want to pretend that parking alone will solve it. A lot of this is behavioral.
Mike, you're a goofball. I think you're a stoner, Mike. I really do. I think you're a stoner. What is he talking about? They want to spend $600,000, as I recall, $600,000 to paint rectangles. No, I'm not joking. Rectangles, so people will know where to leave their bikes. O'Brien says this is going to bring in money.
This ordinance will generate additional revenue to make some of the investments necessary to make that parking available.
Yeah. You know what it's going to generate? 4 or 5 jobs to make sure the bikes are parked in triangles. But I have bad news. Bad news. One of the bike companies, $250,000 to do business in Seattle.
And I realize I'm going home.
OFO, the Chinese company, said, we're done. bye-bye. So the $1 million they're going to bring in just dropped by $250,000. Mike O'Brien, was that in your plan?
As a city, we have
no
plan.
Oh, I forgot. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. And if you want the podcast, text the word podcast to 800-465-8770. Hey, thanks very much for listening to the Todd Herman Show. It's impossible for me to do this without you. In fact, without enough of you on your part of the team, there's no me on this part of the team. Thanks to young Tom for all the fine work today. So I'm getting a lot of messages about the GOP senatorial candidates. So let me go through this one time. Here's a very typical text message I'm getting. Greeting, Todd's. Todd's. Greeting, Todd. I'm hoping you can share some insight into our good old GOP senatorial candidates. Finally opening my ballot, I see our political aces with WA GOP through a thought a lucky 13 Republicans would be the best way to displace a lefty on the left coast of stupid. Any feedback on whether any of them have an infrastructure to support a general campaign? Sorry to say, but Susan Hutchison seems well-intentioned, but not a fighter up to the challenge of changing minds in this cesspool. Feel like we've been divided and conquered in a self-inflicted sort of way with the so-called GOP leadership that conservatives in these parts have to rely on for anything other than the big letter D. Not to be confused with the small letter D in Heroin Dan, but that's an aside. Great show as always. Longtime listener, not a caller, but enjoy the show. Thanks. Cheers, Eric. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate the note. Appreciate you listening. So let me respond this way. Your analysis is spot on. There's way too many Republicans on the ballot. Now, to be fair to Caleb Heimlich and the people who run WA GOP, they can't stop people from running and saying they prefer the Republican Party. They don't have the power to do that. They shouldn't have the power to do that. So they get to run however they want. There's some people on the ballots who are clowns, like Good Space Guy. I used to live across the street from Good Space Guy. Weird, weird, weird cat. So he's not going to win. But with 13 Republicans on that ballot, this is a top two primary state. Those 13 are obviously going to split those votes. So you're absolutely correct about Susan Hutchison. Okay, Susan has the name ID, and she does have some infrastructure. Okay, because she's got some donors behind her. Now, the fact of the matter is, Susan is not a fighter. Susan is an extremely weak human being. She is, in my judgment, a frail human being. She's also, in my judgment, a vindictive human being. And she's someone who doesn't have a lot of political smarts, in my judgment. I don't know her well, to be honest with you. I've met her a few times, and we had an absolutely catastrophic interview. Like my first week of the show, I decided to bring her on as a favor. I won't go back through and belabor that because she's not here to defend herself on that. I don't want to be unfair. That's my assessment of her. Can she make it in D.C.? Oh, yeah. No, she'd fit right in D.C. because I think this has always been her goal. I don't know any fire in the belly from her on topics other than Susan, to be frank. I've never observed any. More importantly to me, people who know her well have a similar assessment. And equally important to me, under her tutelage, the WA GOP had some significant problems. Now, Caleb, who's running the thing now, I don't know him well. But from what I understand, he's a lot tougher. Okay, he's a lot tougher guy. He's a lot more strategic. And I'm hearing some decent things. So I'm somewhat happy on that front. But that's WA GOP. The fact of the matter is this. Susan's going has the best shot at coming out of there in the top two by far. So if all the things I just said about Susan, right, your vote should be for the person you think should win in that regard. Is she going to be worse than Cantwell? No, she's not going to be worse than Cantwell. She's sort of a Republican Cantwell, except that I don't think Susan means ill. I don't think she means ill. She certainly does not dislike this country, right? I think that she has patriotic tendencies. I think that she probably, well, not probably, she will go along with the president. I think she will back his agenda. And I think she'll do that for many reasons, probably most of them starting with an S and then a U and then an S and then an A and then an N. But she'll do that. So I think those things are all good. She's got her own money, I think, to a degree. So I don't think she's going to be bribable necessarily. In fact, I have no notion to think she would be. I've never heard anything about that, like her, from her or about her. Sharp elbows. Yeah, she can do that when it's related to S-U-S-A-N. So I guess she could go apply that there. I guess what I'm saying is we're sort of stuck again. Now, other people on the ballot, I don't know as well. I'm sure there's some very, very fine people on the ballot. But it's a name ID issue. And the fact is this, that since I didn't get outreach from the people on that ballot who didn't come to ask to come on the show, I don't know how seriously I take them. Now, that's not to say the show is some kind of big deal. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you are trying to win a Senate race, wouldn't you try to get every single avenue, like coming on the show, even though it's a scary, frightening show, because I'm such a scary and frightening man, such a devilishly clever and mean interviewer, and I'm a tactician in debates, et cetera, ad nauseum, because I'm just so rude to people. So the fact is as well, Susan didn't reach out to come on the show, and she wouldn't because Susan can't stand me. That's fine and well. I don't really care. So to answer the question about the Senate ballot, Susan's going to win the Republican vote. Now, is she going to win? Can she beat Cantwell? Doubt it. If it's Cantwell versus Susan, well, I support Susan. Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. Enthusiastically? No. Supporter? Yep. I don't have any real reason not to. Like I said, she'll fit right in D.C. She'll love it there. She gets to go. Cantwell, speaking of infrastructure, she has that. She has name ID. And this state is so obsessively anti-Trump that the first thing they will do is they will hang Susan's words about Trump around her neck. Okay? They will name the Hollywood, the video, the famous Billy Bush video, the you can grab him and do what you want video. They're going to hang that around her neck because she said something really silly, which was, well, when the president did that, he was a Democrat. So they'll hang that around her neck. Also from the text line, Todd, who's responsible for the Rocky Horror sound bites? I'm loving it. Not only memory lane for me, but sometimes I've thought how unusable it is for mocking the, or useful it is for mocking the political arena. I have to confess it was my idea this time. Young Tom comes up with plenty of his own. But man, I mean, young Tom is young. I don't think he's ever seen Rocky Horror Picture Show. But we will get a statement from Tom sometime this week on orcas. Found out young Tom hates him, some orcas. So I'm going to have him do a little presentation on the air telling you that you shouldn't care about orcas because he's going to write a blog on it. It's going to outrage you. We'll come back on the Todd Emmer Show on AM 770 KTTH now that I've given my... Is that condemnation by faint praise or doesn't even rise to that level with Susan Hutchinson? The key question for the Democrats in this cycle came, believe it or not, on ABC from Martha Raddatz. I'm just sitting here looking at some of the responses to the Matt Manweller video. You know, we had Matt on the show, an exclusive, top of the first hour, 3 o'clock. He's a great representative here. I have the video that was exhibit number one in the so-called Me Too case against him by apparently the leftist radicals at Central Washington University. In the video, all Manweller does is he turns around and he makes note of the fact that someone's handing him a piece of paper. And the someone handing him a piece of paper turns out to be a woman. And you know, you're not supposed to acknowledge the presence of women, apparently, in public if you're Matt Manweller. Here's some of the notes of people who have looked at the video. You can get a copy of the video yourself. Just text the word Matt, M-A-T-T, to 800-465-8770. These are people who've watched the video. John, okay, missed it. Is it because he was the only in the person in the room to acknowledge the young ladies with the folder because he treated them like people? Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's all. He was questioned about this from an attorney that Manweller described as a radical feminist downtown Seattle attorney.
CW went into downtown Seattle and hired the most liberal feminist attorney they could find. You know, started having her do the investigation.
16 years of investigation. Other comments on this video. I'm confused. I thought there was going to be something inappropriate from Evan. Yeah. Let's see. Jeff, the lady to Matt's right also stopped and looked up at the lady handing out the folders. Is she being investigated? Don't know. I mean, if she was a Republican, probably. Jeff, did that sick bastard look at her arm? I think he did. I think he looked right at her arm. You can't go around looking at people's arms. Not if they're women. What do you think you are, looking at someone's arms? The key question for the Democrats in the 2020 election, I cannot believe it, but it actually came out of the mouth of Martha Raddatz on ABC.
Conservative judges, tax cuts, lower regulation, and that to them is what he's doing, is why they're still on his side.
And then how do you counter that?
how do you counter that? Maybe Joey Scarborough has the secret.
Let's talk about Republicans and the Mueller investigation. Yeah. You, of course, have a couple of House Republicans who are playing the role of Vladimir Putin's poodles, yeah, embarrassing themselves.
That's it.
Really just being dupes, useful idiots for Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, that'll do it. That, see, there you go. Now you countered it, except it's not working. It's not working with independents. So how would they counter it? What would they do if the judges and the tax cuts and the regulation cuts are working? What would they do? Well, maybe they go this route. The mayor of Philadelphia has kicked ICE out of the city, and a state rep there, Martina White.
It's truly shocking that the mayor was willing to end a contract that was actually helping to keep our community safe. Federal immigration officials were using this PARS system to access information about people who were previously arrested, who committed a crime other than being here illegally.
So what do they do to counter this, as Martha Raddatz has said? The judges, that's for the base. Okay, let's put that aside. Independents largely don't care about the judiciary. They don't know what it does. I don't mean any ill against independents. You may be an independent, and you may know plenty about the judiciary. But knowing what I know about independents, they make the decisions based upon a couple things. One, do I want to have a beer with the person? That's a huge thing for independents. Two, are they doing something for me right now? Do I have tangible benefit right now? Are they going to make my life better right now? So in that way, they're not small government types. They're not necessarily big government types. They're going to make decisions based on right now. So they're seeing benefit. My friends are employed. My family's employed. I have more money in my paycheck. To me, it seems like the economy is doing better. I heard unemployment's at an all-time low. I heard that ISIS has been kicked back. I heard someone who wants to control our border. I hear a president who wants our elections to be secure, because independents want secure elections. They don't want cheating in their elections. So what do the Democrats do? So those are the independents. With the Democrats, the leftists, what are they doing? They're going to crank it up to 11. You notice how the rhetoric continues to graduate? First it was he might be a dupe from Russia. Now he's owned by Putin. Now it's treason because he said during this event with Putin that he didn't believe Russia hacked, and then he walked it back. And now it's graduated up to, oh, he's really Pol Pot, and now he wants to partner with Iran, and they keep graduating it. When you watch someone continue to make statements like that, you know when you know a guy's not going to deck you? When you are, there's a thing called the monkey dance, which is where two guys who don't really want to fight, they want to do the monkey dance. They all say, oh, I'm going to do this to you. Oh, you better not touch me, or I'll, oh, you think you're going to do that? I'll shove you so hard in the next week your kids won't recognize you. Oh, yeah, you step up and try that. I will knock your head so far down the street your mom is going to be chasing it for the next 3 years. Oh, yeah, it's the monkey dance. Continues to graduate. And after a while, you get it, go, oh, yeah, these guys aren't going to fight. They want to do the monkey dance, but they keep graduating in levels of stupidity and rhetoric and stupid things that they say and trying to be creative, because that's all they really want to do. The Democrats are continuing to ramp this up. Now, here's the problem. Behind the monkey dance guys, the two guys who don't want to fight, sometimes their lieutenants are ready to throw down. And sometimes there's someone who's sick of the monkey dance and sick of your mouth wagging. And they step up and they flat smack you. And that's a good shock and a wake up, or a bad shock and a wake up. So the Democrats, what do? How do they counter this? Well, the graduated rhetoric is not going to sway independents. The street action is not going to sway independents. The street action is not going to sway Democrats. Their decision is made. The Democrats aren't going to get Republican support because the president has largely, to a great and really impressive degree, kept his promises. There are tax cuts. Spending is out of control and it's an atrocity. And that's a huge failure of the president and Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. And that needs to be addressed. But in the totality, that's not going to peel Republicans off. So what do the Democrats do? Well, they prevent success. They prevent it from landing. They prevent people from seeing it. So what do? Why don't we talk about it? Why don't we say, I'm doing better? Why don't we say, I like the extra money in my paycheck? Why don't we speak to independents and go see them based upon the results of today? It has to be outside the media. So the outreach from Republicans in this cycle, since the Democrats are impotent on all the reasons, for all the reasons I just described, the door knocks with independents, because that's where the races are won, need to be about them. The president has delivered for you. More money in your pocket for you. Here's what the cut regulations mean in states like Ohio. Here's what the pared down regulations have meant for jobs. Those are harder to explain than tax cuts. That's what they need to be. We have delivered this to you because the Democrats have nothing to deliver. So what do they do? I hate to tell you, but I still think, come election time, I still think Robert Mueller comes along and he will invent something related to obstruction, because they think that's going to sway somebody somewhere. That once again, we have a president now going to be charged with obstruction. And what they want to do with that is merchandise that around the country to go to Republicans running in the midterms and say, do you agree that the Mueller investigation should continue now that there are obstruction claims? Now, you would think that a party like the professional Republicans in D.C. would be planning for that. If they are, color me happily surprised. If they aren't, and I hate to tell you this, they probably aren't, they're going to be caught flat-footed and they should never be. The words on how to answer the question, should the Mueller probe continue now that the president is being looked at for obstruction, need to be on the tip of the tongue of every candidate.
Down on Main Street.
Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. I appreciate you listening. Fact of the matter is, without enough of you out there, there's no me in here. And the walls, those things are kind of false distractions. You and I are on this team together. And without you, there's no me in this role. And together, we have our hands on a great, big, huge rock. We're rolling it up a hill called freedom. And the people on the other side, the left, trying to roll it back on top of us. So I need every one of you, and I appreciate you doing that. Multiple ways to listen to the show. You know about 770 KTTH, 94.5 FM on the east side. How about the podcast? Make sure you get on that as well in case you miss one of the shows. Super convenient. Listen through Bluetooth in your car or when you're out camping, right? Just download the show if you want to take a break from camping and think a little bit about politics and the Todd Herman Show. Text the word podcast to 800-465-8770, brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. So yesterday on Monday, I told you something about my grandpa, that he was a believer in holding back the words, I love you, and held them back in my case until I think I was, man, how old was I? 22 years old? And it wasn't, I never felt unloved by my grandpa. I always felt loved by him. He did that in other ways. But I was sharing the fact that he felt that words could undergo inflation. In other words, they could become less meaningful, or say it this way, less valuable. I'm a different guy. I tend to, I tell my wife I love her every time before I leave the house. Same with my daughter. I just want them to know. Because if, God forbid, something happens, I want the last thing they hear from me to be, I love you. That's it. I mean, it's that simple. Maybe that makes me a softie. But you know what story I didn't tell you, because it's actually hilarious. It's a weird thing to say that something happened when my dad had started his descent into hospitalization, which eventually ended his life. But prior to him getting really sick and being hospitalized, he had developed a real bad illness. And this was about seven to 8 years before he finally went into the hospital. He had gotten really sick, and he thought it was the flu, but he couldn't get out of the house, and he couldn't really breathe when we spoke with him on the phone, and it was pronounced. My family is blessed with a bunch of people in the healthcare field. My sister is a brilliant nurse oncologist, such a brilliant woman. And my aunt is in the healthcare field. In fact, both of my aunts are in the healthcare field. One specific aunt is a respiratory therapist and a brilliant woman in her own right. Both of my aunts are. They called my dad, and both of them said, there's something really wrong, with your dad. My sister went out to the house, out on his property, and tried to get him to go to the hospital, and he wouldn't go. But she called me, and she said, listen, he's going to have a heart attack. He had, kind of a mound of water on top of his heart. And I'm forgetting the name of the medical condition, but the sac around his heart had filled with fluid. Congestive. It was going to lead to congestive heart failure. So he had this just massive fluid on his heart. So his heart couldn't beat. And my sister was describing this to me. My dad was a very proud man, and he had said, once the hospital gets their clutches on you, you're dead. And it happened to his mom. She went to the hospital, and she never came back. And that way, I never got to meet my birth grandmother, Grandma Cherry. Never got to meet her. I had a grandma. My grandma's name was Nikki. She was my grandpa's second wife. So here's my dad on his property. It's 21 acres out north of Spokane. He's being the mountain man. He's being the tough guy. He refuses to go in. But you don't want to die from congestive heart failure. Basically, you drowned. So I called him from Seattle, and I told him, I'm coming over. I will make you go. I will get in the car. I will come there and make you go. He said, well, what are you going to do? You're going to shoot me if I don't? You're going to kill me if I won't go save my life? Oh, well, no, I'll pick you up and carry you. You're strong, but you're not going to carry me. He's right. I was not going to carry my dad. My dad was a huge man. So I got to thinking, what could I possibly do? I said, listen, Dad, I will make you go. See, there's no way you can. I'm going to be fine. So I said, you know what, Dad? I'm calling Grandpa. He goes, you're what? I'm calling Grandpa. He goes, I forget how old he was. No, I don't. He said, I'm a 58-year-old man. You're calling my dad? I said, yeah, I'm going to call your dad. I'm going to tell on you. He goes, oh, I'll call him first. I said, and I already had my cell phone. I'd already dialed Grandpa on the cell phone. Grandpa's phone rang. I said, Dad, I love you. I'll call you back. My grandpa picked up the phone. I said, Grandpa, it's Todd. And, you know, Dad's sick. Oh, yeah, we heard he's under the weather. I said, well, I don't want to frighten you, but I need you to know that Wendy, my sister, went and saw him. And he's going to get congestive heart failure, Grandpa. He's going to die if we don't get him to go to the hospital. He says, well, what can I do? And then Grandpa's other line, that we got him for medical emergencies. That's why we got it. It started ringing. I said, Grandpa, hold on. That's going to be Dad calling you. That's going to be Dad. Well, I should take it. I said, no, wait just a second. Let's create a plan. I want you to call Grandpa. I want you to call I want you to call Dad back. He goes, oh, I'll go out there. I'll get him in the hospital. He's my boy. I'll go out there. This is my, 75-year-old something grandpa. Older than that, probably 76 or something year old grandpa. I don't remember. No, it couldn't have been that old. 72, something like that. He's 72-year-old man. Going to go get a 58-year-old man and shame him into going to the hospital. So I said, all right, well, you know, please have grandma call me back. And so grandpa called dad, and he extracted from my dad a promise that we could have someone go get him because we didn't want him driving. That his brother could go get him, my uncle, the cop, could drive out and pick up my dad and make him go to the hospital. And so when my uncle was on the way out there, my dad called me and goes, I cannot believe you called my dad. He was going to drive out here. I said, yep. Let me ask you this. Dad, what would you have done if it was me? What did you do when it was me? And I reminded him of the time that I had been in Salt Lake City and the time that I had gotten really off track and the time that I decided I'm going to kill myself. I thought it all made sense. And I reminded him, what did you do? You got on an airplane. What did Wendy do? She jumped on an airplane. Both of you showed up in Salt Lake City. Both of you got in my way. Both of you forced me to get my head right. I've never gone back. I only learned from the best, Dad. So give me that credit. And he laughed. He said, well, I still hate hospitals. You know what? We got about 10 more years of life out of my dad. Because I called his dad and shit. This is the Todd Herman Show. We air every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. I will see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Be well, be strong, and be kind.